Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you another broadcast. It's Tuesday evening when I came over here to the Lighthouse about 5 o'clock in the evening, see if I get this broadcast ready, because I had a feeling it's going to be a lot colder tomorrow morning, so I decided I'd try to get it in done today. You tune me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in, by the way, of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or over in the Lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome all of you that have tuned me in from there this morning. Others have tuned me in, by the way, of WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock in Greenville, and we are now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville radio stations, by the way, of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those just listening by the way of my website, which is pastorkenharger.com. Take your mouse and bring it over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up, and you click on Current Media, and it takes you right to the broadcast for this morning. Whatever way you tuned me in this morning, I'm so glad to have you being a part of our broadcast today. And a Merry Christmas to you and yours, as it's getting much closer now. Matter of fact, this year is winding down. I need to say thank you to those that have been faithful in doing my radio broadcast finances. Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. And I appreciate all the support. Coming this next year, got a couple people that is not financially able to support the broadcast anymore, so I'll be looking for some new sponsors, and I don't even like asking that, but if anybody is interested, why, give me a get a hold of me, and I'll see what we can do about that, okay? I need to give you a thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our music. If you remember her in prayer, she's having a new hip put in on Monday at the hospital, and so we need to remember her in prayer. She just brought over her husband, I should say, just brought over the broadcast for January. So then by January, she's hoping that she'll feel better. She'll feel good enough to be able to do the February ones. I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. Shiloh Community Church at Shiloh. Our weekend begins Saturday evening at 6:30. We're back to our regular schedule now. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, which is located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, that service there is at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services. We'd be so glad to have you be a part of that. Christmas Eve service is going to be about 6 o'clock at Shiloh. I think it's about the same time in Greenville. I'll know that for sure next week, and I'll share that with you. Had a nice turnout for our live nativity. It was kind of a cold Saturday and Sunday evening, but had a lot of workers, and they did a beautiful job, and I sure appreciate that very much. Our message for this morning is going to be Christmas is a surrender to the attitude of obedience. I want you to see from God's standpoint and all the humans that were involved around the Christmas story. One of the main things that was a part of that Christmas story was the obedience of what they was asked to do. And we need to know that Christmas is obedience. Jesus was obedient. God the Father was obedient. All those involved with it was obedient. And so we need to allow that to be a part of our life as well. Still having a little trouble with my voice. If you notice it a little different, be seeing the doctor next week to find out what's going on. I had a little bit of a virus one time, and I coughed so hard, I think I might have did something to my voice box. But we're going to try to find out next week anyway. Got a song which I want us to listen to, and this song is asking a question. The baby Jesus, did he cry, or was he quiet? We don't have anything in the scripture that tells anything about all of that. But, you know, having raised some babies, you'd have that thought in your mind. So a songwriter has put this question to work, and we're going to listen to this message of this song and kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message that we have this morning on this idea of obedience. Obedience is needed as we celebrate Christmas. God bless you. I'll be right back.
I've wondered, yes, I've wondered many times. I've thought at night about our Savior as a baby. Did he cry or was he quiet? Did his precious Mother Mary sing to him a lullaby as he lay there in the manger? Was he quiet or did he cry? I know the angels sang, glory to the newborn King. Bring forth the royal diadem, a king is born in Bethlehem. But I've wondered, yes, I've wondered many times as years go by, as he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry? Bring forth the royal diadem, a king is born in Bethlehem. But I've wondered, yes, I've wondered many times as years go by, as he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry? As he lay there in the manger, was he quiet or did he cry?
Well, we probably don't have the answer to that question, but I wonder, was he quiet or did he cry? Teeny little baby. I want to say it again. I said it last week and I want to say it again. When God created Adam and Eve, he created adult people. He created Adam from the dust. And then he created Eve from a rib of Adam. But when God wanted to tell us he loved us, he sent a little teeny baby. That baby in the manger is all about obedience. Obedience from God's side, and also obedience from the human side. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. I want to remember the listening audience that God's special blessing would be upon you. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, as we come into your presence now, I come in behalf of the listening audience. I ask your special blessing to rest upon each and every one. From the youngest to the oldest, those that are shut in, those that may be in a nursing home, those that may be in the privacy of their own home, but they're homebound, unable to get out. Others, Father, that may be listening to the radio on the way to church. Others, Father, that may be going through some really tough times physically or emotionally or financially. whatever it is they're going through this week, I pray, Father, that your hand of blessing and comfort and strength would be theirs. You see, as our day is, so shall our strength be. So we claim that this morning for the listening audience, that you give them the strength that they need. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm trying to talk this morning with a cough drop in the side of my mouth. I don't know how good that's going to work out. But I remember a number of years ago, hearing about a pastor that he didn't really want to look at his watch and there wasn't a clock in the church. And so he had decided that his message about time, he could take one of those lifesavers and put it in his mouth. And by the time the lifesaver was dissolved, his message would be over. So that's what he used as kind of a timer for him. But one day he reached into his pocket, his coat jacket, and instead of getting a lifesaver, he got a button. And the button, of course, didn't dissolve, and I don't know how long he preached, but I always remember that story whenever I have something in my mouth when I'm speaking. But I just want to share the message this morning as God has laid it on my heart. Been sharing this all this week about obedience. And I believe it is an attitude of obedience. Been sharing that in my devotions each day. Now I'm taking the devotions, what I shared on my Facebook page as a public figure, put it together, and now I'm going to share it with you this morning. Everything and everyone that shared with you about the Christmas story, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the angels, Mary and Joseph, they all had a surrendered attitude of obedience which was demonstrated by Jesus himself. This is passed on to us as the foundation for not only understanding the Christian plan and purpose from God, Christmas plan and purpose from God, but for us to be able to be a part of that plan for our life in its fullest extent. Let's look again at the attitude of the Lord Jesus. It's given to us in the book of Philippians. It's not a part of the Christmas story. It was written later. But I think it's going to be an encouragement to each one of us. God goes on to say, do you have any encouragement from knowing Jesus? Do you have any comfort? Do you have any love? Do you have any spiritual relationships? Do you have any sympathy and compassion? This is what Christ has made a difference in your life in these things. Then fill me with joy by having the same attitude and the same love, living in harmony and keeping one purpose in mind. Don't act out of selfish ambition or conceit. Instead, humbly think of others as better than yourself. Don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. Now listen to this, and as he ends this portion of Scripture, have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had when he came into this world. That was the attitude of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't come to make himself Jesus. He was already Jesus. He wasn't coming for his benefit. He was coming for our benefit. There are so many things that can take control of our lives today. They take over our reason for living. The idea of this verse is above the verse that I just read to you is asking us as a Christian that has changed, has Christ changed our life because of Jesus? Do you have any spiritual relationship? Do you have any sympathy and compassion that you didn't have before you knew him? Then don't act out of selfish ambitions. Or don't be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others better than yourself. That's what Jesus did, folks. Think of others better than themselves. I'm afraid today society is, I'm better than anybody else. That's the opposite from the way Jesus was thinking. That is when God shares with us that in order for what we call Christmas was possible, because being concerned for others was the attitude that Christ Jesus had when he was willing to become a little baby in the manger. He was willing to set aside all that he had with the Father, all that he experienced in heaven, and he's willing to become one of us. I love this idea that Jesus surrendered to obedience to the Father, to be born in a manger. And now the challenge to us is, Christmas can be to you what it was to Jesus. As you surrender, having the same attitude and the same love, living in harmony and keeping one purpose in mind, not to act just through as you go through life selfishly, but to think of others. And consider the message that he gave to the angels, rather gave to the shepherd. And the words go like this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Let me say that again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward all men. God's reminding us, that's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas is to produce in our life, because that's God's design, for us to be thinking about what we can do to help others as they go through a difficult time in their life. Surrender to the attitude of obedience. This is what the shepherds heard one night after they were still caring for their sheep, and it was having a watch night. One of the shepherds was awake. And in the same region, there was shepherds out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And all of a sudden, the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with fear. On a starlit night, when all of a sudden this sound is coming, I got to tell you, folks, a bright light from the angel. And the angel said to them, fear not. I think my response would have been, that's easy for you to say. You should see it from this side. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. I need to say that again, too, because this is good news. This is great joy, and it's for everyone. I like to think if Jesus Christ is not for everyone, then he can't be for anyone. Jesus is for us all. We might ask ourselves why God made the announcement of good news to the shepherds. The shepherds at the time of Jesus' birth were very humble men. In fact, the shepherds were looked down upon at the time of Jesus' birth. Not only were they looked down upon by many people, there were people that lived in the hill country outside of Bethlehem. Shepherds were humbled by their low social standing in the community. They had no homes, no place. They had no status and little value to their society. But Jesus came for all people. He came for the rich. He came for the poor. He came for men. He came for women. He came for the educated. He came for the uneducated. By announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds, I believe God was demonstrating, this son of mine, because I love you, is for everyone, no matter what their background might be. Why I believe it was called good news? Many years before Jesus was born, his coming was promised. Way back in the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to those that's in captivity, and to open of the door, prison doors to those who are bound. And he wasn't just thinking of those that were in prison, but you can be in prison and be on the outside. We need to realize God had a purpose in sending his son Jesus. It was good news because this baby that was born to deliver people from whatever was holding that person captive or in bondage, and to give them some joy because they would be released from that bondage and they would be set free That's the promise of this one Jesus when he is to come. And the angels are announcing that. They're ready to announce it because this is the purpose of why Jesus left heaven and all the glory that he had in the Father. I also believe it was good news at the same time that came to the shepherds just because they were common people to let us know that this good news is for everyone. This good news is for everyone to hear. I love it that later in Jesus' life, when he went to visit his hometown in Nazareth, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day that he was accustomed to do that. Because Jesus had grown up there, they asked him if he'd like to read. So Jesus stood up to read the verse. And you know what he did? He went to that verse in Isaiah 61. He read the verse of why he was coming, what purpose he was here for. And it was like in a scroll those days, it was kind of wound up, a piece of paper kind of wound up into a circle. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. Oftentimes they would stand to read, they would sit to talk. And he began to say this to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's in Luke chapter 4:20. And you know what, folks? Today, to you and I, this joy that God was talking about, this great joy, is offered to you and I because that one Jesus was born so long ago in Bethlehem. This is a message of great joy to all people. That's including you. That's including me. And God wants us to know that. That's something that is very special for each and every one of us. Christmas is the surrender of the attitude of obedience. When the message of good news from God is heard with a humble heart. The shepherds had a humble heart. You know what I believe with all my heart? I believe it'll produce a desire of obedience in your life and my life. But if we don't think much of it, those shepherds that night, folks, was wondering, why in the world is this being told to us? We're nobodies. And you know what I think about Christmas? God just loves to take the nobodies and make them tremendously significant. Did you ever hear this before? Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. It was predicted that long before Jesus was born, it would be Bethlehem. Now you think if he's a religious leader, he would have came out of religious Jerusalem. But you know what it said? Bethlehem, you're just a little insignificant town. But out of you is coming this new ruler, the Messiah, this one Jesus. The angels went on to say to those shepherds that day, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And all of a sudden there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. The word multitude means many, almost so many you can't count them. And were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. And what they found? Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in the manger. There he was, wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Who would have ever thought that these shepherds would be the one that would hear this for the first time? They would be the first ones to see Jesus. Who would have ever thought that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this one Jesus, the very Son of God, would be born in a stable? His bed would be a manger. I love it that we are told when the angel and the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's well pleased. We see heaven and earth were brought together. There's a host from heaven sharing to common people, the shepherds, about glory to God in the highest. And at the same time saying peace on earth. It's bringing God and people together. Jesus is. But he's also bringing heaven and earth together. Heaven's excited for the earth that they're going to get the presence of this baby Jesus who's going to grow. The baby was born unto the shepherds, the angel said. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in the manger. You know what? All of a sudden, those shepherds have to decide what they're going to do. Can you imagine them thinking as soon as the sky was quiet, as soon as they gathered their sheep all together that must have got scattered during that process of time? Can you imagine what it was like when all of a sudden they're saying, what was that? Did you hear all of that? They started talking about it. I love their surrender to their attitude of obedience shown by the shepherd. After the angel was gone, the shepherds said one to another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known for us. You know what? They're saying, I want to go check it out for myself. I want to go see if this is really true. And I love the way they did it. It says they made haste. They headed to to Bethlehem as swiftly as they could. I don't know how far it was. And when they got there they found Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus lying in a manger wrapped up in swaddling cloth. I love it that they made the decision to check it out for themselves, what they had heard, and they went to Bethlehem and checked it out. You know what I think? Christmas 2019. It's a good time for each one of us to check out this Christmas story. God wants you to be a part of this Christmas story. This baby Jesus was born unto you. Have you come to that place in your life where you recognize that that's how much God loved you? That he's willing to send his son and entrust him into the hands of human beings as a baby. But more than that, this one Jesus was willing to leave heaven and all the glory he had with the Father and become a baby and be born in a manger, him who had lived eternity past in heaven's glory. And not only that, he is willing to be wrapped in swaddling cloth. And there he was, laying in the manger. I got to tell you, a picture came to my mind the other evening when I was thinking about this. Sometime later, 33 years or so, there was Jesus. His body was taken down from the cross by two people he met. And they took the body and they wrapped it in cloth. And they laid him in the tomb that was for one of the guys that came to get him. I got to tell you, folks, that's love. That's love. God so loved us. I love him this morning. But you know what? I love him because he first loved me. I got another song I want us to listen to. This is a song that, you know what? God's good about doing this. He takes the beauty, the ashes of your life and my life, and he turns them into beauty. He took all the pain of the suffering of the Lord Jesus, and he turned it into beauty of the resurrection. He wants to take whatever you've gone through in life, the pain of your life, all the difficulties of your life, And because just one Jesus was born, he wants to turn the ashes of your life into beauty. Let's listen to this song. I'll be right back.
He gave me beauty.
Into this world to change the things that we have in our life that's causing us difficulty and to give us a better way of life. I love it that one day Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want life to be the best it can for you. And Jesus has reminded us that's the reason he came. You know, this idea of obedience is something that's hard for us humans to be able to surrender to this obedience. And yet it's the very thing that causes us to become who God wants us to become. As the shepherds went to Bethlehem, they found it just as the heavenly host had told them. It was such a blessing to them when they stepped in there and they saw Mary, the mother of Jesus. They saw Joseph and the baby Jesus. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. They just said, this is what happened. And everybody who heard the wonderful story about the shepherds had heard, and they told it to Mary. I love this statement about Mary. Mary treasured up all the things that they said, and she pondered them in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and they had seen and everything that had been told to them. These shepherds became the first people to share the message of the birth of Jesus. Jesus had invaded the world with love of God. Can you imagine there in that humble place of birth what it must have meant to Mary? When the shepherds told her the message of the angelic host, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Mary's son, this one that's born of her by the Holy Spirit, is going to benefit all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is going to be a sign. Mary just took him and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and put him in the manger because that's all she had. But you know what? Told the shepherds, this is a sign so you know which one it is. You don't know who it is. I love that. What was the response of Mary when she heard this message given to the shepherds from the angelic host? She treasured all of these things in her heart. Has Christmas come to a place that is a treasure to you? It's something very special. When we hear about this one Jesus, I love the thought that Mary treasured all she heard about Jesus in her heart, but I also believe that the shepherds treasured it because, you see, when they left the manger scene, they headed home, they told everybody they came in contact with about the story. Do you know the baby Jesus is born down there and he's laying in the manger? They kept telling that story over and over again and nobody knew anything about it. They were the first ones to tell that story, that baby Jesus was born. Some of the people probably looked at him like they was crazy. But I love the shepherds that surrendered their attitude, that they shared this message to others, remembering what God had told them. Fear not, I bring you good news, which is for all people. It's for everybody, not just for a few. It's for every person that will respond to this one Jesus. And I love what happened in their lives. I believe those shepherds were never the same. I believe some nights when they were sitting underneath the stars, they relived that story over and over and over again. They returned back home to their jobs with a whole different attitude because they had met the baby Jesus. And I believe they had worshipped him. Some years later, Jesus would say this. He was doing a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus at about the age 30 or whatever he was. And he said this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love it that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. I think that's a way for us to kind of examine ourselves before God. Do you consider this one Jesus as a treasure in your life? I consider Jesus as a treasure in my life. I have no idea where I might be or what I might be doing if it wasn't that Jesus got a hold of my life when I was 18 years old. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we keep in mind all the thoughts that I have shared with your connection, that with the connection between obedience and all the people involved in this Christmas story, I love that God went to a simple, common, everyday people like shepherds and made known the birth of Jesus. But I also love this another part to the Christmas story. It didn't happen until about 2 years later, but he made himself known to others in other way, different and totally different than the shepherds seeing the baby Jesus in the manger. There was wise men of old, as they referred to. Listen to what this story goes on to tell us. There was in the Old Testament many prophecies about the birth of Jesus. But you know, when I searched as best I could not find any in my research that point directly to either the manger's birth being predicted or a star coming to lead the wise men to Bethlehem. But I'm so glad that God's way of speaking to these wise men was something very special. It illustrates to me that Christmas is a surrender to obedience. After the star, they were willing to do something else, something that made them not merely smart, but also truly wise. Once they had lifted up their heads and had seen the star, they were willing to follow it wherever it led them. they were willing to leave behind the familiar surroundings of their life and travel to a distant land, seeking one for months, maybe even year. They didn't know when they was going and where they was going. In this text, it states that the star appeared to the wise men. There's no biblical record of anything else observing, anybody else observing the star, excepting those wise men. The star led them to Jerusalem, the religious center of the world at that time. It led them to King Herod, and he assembled all of his chief priests and the scribes and the people. He inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. They searched the Old Testament. They said, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, O you Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are so as in no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Did you hear that? He will shepherd my people, Israel. I love the Lord Jesus that he died for my sins. I love it that I have the promise of eternal life through him. But I got to tell you, I love it that I got a shepherd that will lead my life and guide my life. I love it that God used a star that night, a night star, a night light, to lead these wise men to the light of the world. And you know what, folks? God is still using whatever method he wants to bring you and I to the light of the world, Jesus. I found a picture of the stars are all out. You know what, around here we don't get to see many stars. Of course, it's been quite cloudy anyway. We didn't see much sun during the month of December, but you know, we don't get to see many stars. And I have a cabin up in the Kalkaska area. I've owned it now for 29 years. And you know something, folks? I didn't have electricity only about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And there's about 3 or 4 other cabins in that area. And I used to love to go up there. Because when it was nighttime, when you didn't have any electricity, just the little gas lights in the cabin, I got to tell you, the stars were almost like you could reach out and touch them. And now since we got electricity, I'm so glad in that whole area, I think there's 6, 7 cabins in that maybe 20-acre area or whatever it is. And I got to tell you, nobody's put up a mercury light. I love that. I love that, to go and see the stars. The picture I found was on a starlit night that I used on my Facebook. And yet there was one star shining brighter than all the rest of the stars. Let's find out why God used that star. I cannot explain to you why he did. I cannot explain to you how the star came about. I just know that God used that star to lead these wise men to a place of surrender of obedience. Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he asked them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. You know what happened, folks? And behold, the star that they had seen when they first started on their journey rose and went with them until it came and rested upon the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. This Christmas thing's about a joy. This Christmas thing's about adding something to your life that can't be added any other way. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And I love this. He's about 2 years old. And these grown men that had traveled so far fell down and worshiped him. I love that. They fell down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and they offered him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country, by another way. I got to tell you, folks, those wise men had an attitude of obedience. Obedience to the star, obedience to the word of God, obedience in bringing gifts, obedience to the idea that when they were warned of God, they didn't go back and tell Herod. Because we know the rest of the story. Herod really wanted to kill Jesus. He did kill a lot of babies. That was recorded in the Old Testament. That was prophesied that when this Messiah was to come, there would be weeping like it had never been heard before, as the king would kill all those babies. The wise men followed the star, and that led them to the word of God. Then it led them to the destination where Jesus was born. And he went from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And you know what? That star became their GPS. GPS is not a new thing. That star was their GPS. It led them right to the house where they found Jesus. And they fell down and worshiped him. And then they gave these gifts. I'm so glad they offered these gifts to him. Some Bible scholars have suggested that by bringing the gift of gold, these wise men were showing that they considered Jesus to be a king. By bringing the gift of frankincense for Jesus, they indicated that they understood that this prophecy of this newborn king carried with it the claim of deity, because that's what it was used in worship. Perhaps the wise men intended the gift that was given to them, the next gift that was given to them of myrrh, illustrate the fact that one day, this one Jesus was going to die. And through his death, he would pay all the price that was needed for the forgiveness of sin. May I say to you this morning, I don't know if that's true or not, but you know what I do love? These men had these gifts, and every one of them, from what I could find out, are valuable. They're worth a lot of money. And these men carried these gifts all that distance to come and give it to Jesus. And you know what? A little bit later, the wise men, they go back a different way because God told them to. But God also warned Joseph and Mary. He said, "Rise and take the child with his mother and flee to Egypt. Because King Herod is going to kill babies. And I'm going to have you go to Egypt and stay there until King Herod dies." You know something, folks? Just think. Joseph hadn't been working for a little while. Joseph wasn't a rich man. But God provided for Joseph in the gifts that the wise men brought. God, it was so valuable that I believe that's where Joseph had enough money to spend the time in Egypt that he spent in Egypt. And that was so special. You know, when I think about those little things about the Christmas story, I'm reminded that it's so important for us to understand that God knows what we need. And God gives us the gifts that we need. You know what, folks? I came across this saying, and I like it. Christmas isn't the gifts you got under the tree. You know what Christmas really is? It's the gift of the one that died upon the tree. That baby Jesus grew, and him who knew no sin one day was willing to become sin for you and I. And there he died upon the cross. And the Bible tells us in the Philippians, in the book of Philippians, he said he became obedient even to death, the death of the cross, which is a cruel way to die. And yet Jesus was willing to do that for each one of us. This Christmas 2019, I have only one more week for me to share the Christmas message. But as I think about the Christmas message 2019, I trust you can come to the point where you realize it's a message of you and I having an attitude of obedience. Obedience to agree with God, what he says. to agree with God that he reminds us that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I don't understand the whole program of God and the plan of God, but I'm so glad that God put that plan together, whereby he could reach out to my life, whereby he could reach out to your life in whatever way he does. I was 18 years old, and I was just in a difficult time of my life where I was very confused as an 18-year-old. And God came into my life, and he brought me peace and joy. I'm here to tell you, the message of Christmas is glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. There's a song I want us to listen to in closing. This song is part of the Gaithard Group, and their song was put together. You talk about it when I first turned the song on. And this song is saying, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that that baby boy Jesus was going to be so special? Mary, did you know he was going to do all the things that he did? Let's listen in.
I'd love to sit down with Mary. I want to know some things. Won't be able to ask her those questions till I get to heaven, but I did write a few of them down a few years ago. And on the Gaither bus one weekend, I handed this lyric to Buddy Green, and he called me on Monday and sang this to me over the phone. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the grave.